97X. Bam! The future of rock and roll.
Welcome to Dongtini, episode 96. On today's show, Simone describes her postpartum torment and recovery, Steffi tried to menage with Peter Rollins and David Bazan, and people actually think there's an internet in heaven. And now, here are your hosts, Simone Tarkington and Stephanie Drury.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you, Dong?
I'm Dong very well. How are you, Dong Simone?
I'm Dong well now, but
as opposed to when?
As opposed to pretty much right after the last episode was recorded. So as you may remember, listener, if you heard it, I just hurt my back and Steffi had to wait around hours because I had to be on the other side of town to be taken care of. And it just got so much worse after that.
I was much worse off than you waiting at the coffee bean for four hours in LA in nice weather.
I'm sorry. I'll make it up to you somehow. I promise. So after that, my doctor prescribed steroids for my sciatic nerve, which I couldn't even stand or walk for like a minute, really. And then this burning pain would happen and I'd have to lay down. So she prescribed steroids for me. So already I'm feeling a lot of anxiety because I couldn't take care of the baby properly. Right. So anyway, I have anxiety already. Take the steroids. They make me completely nuts. Like, I'm so anxious that I'm waking up immediately anxious and hyperventilating with, like, no thoughts to do it. Like, it was just bad. Anyway, and it got so bad. And the more, and I had to keep taking them. I was supposed to take them for, like, 8 days or something. And then, or 10 days, I think. But after the fourth day, like, I would look at the pills in my hand in the morning and be like, here we go. Like, you know, how bad am I going to feel? Because, yeah, it was like that. So I took them on the fourth day and I just felt worse. It was getting worse every day. So I ended up going to the emergency room and, yeah, just like, I'm like, I want to die. Like, I didn't want to kill myself, but I wanted to just, like, escape that. And death seemed like a good way to escape it. You know, like, I think there's a big distinction between actively wanting to kill yourself and just feeling like if I didn't wake up, that would totally be fine. So that's how I was feeling. And, yeah, so that sucked. But anyway, they gave me an Ativan, which is like an anti-anxiety medication. And then I took that. And on the way home, my friend drove me because I couldn't drive myself. Like, I was that freaked out. And on the way home, I felt like, whoa, what were we worried about? Like, it just chilled me out so much that I was just, I felt like there was no reason to go in the first place. But there totally was. But anyway, so I got off the steroids. And yeah, and I was still really stressed out. And then I was prescribed antidepressants. So so I've been taking those. And it took like 2.5 weeks from when I started, and then I started to feel really good. And then I had to take a slower path to fixing my sciatic nerve, so that's mostly healed. Like, I can walk now and stuff, and that's not a problem. It just kind of hurts when I bend to like tie my shoe or something. So so it's been a long haul, but that's, listener, that is why I took longer to come back to you than I thought I would, because I was just such a mess for a long time. And so I'm doing so much better now. But what antidepressants do you take, Stephanie?
I am on, right now, I'm on a fun cocktail of Paxil and Wellbutrin.
Okay, and I'm on Celexa
and Wellbutrin.
In college,
I was just on Paxil. No, wait, I was on Prozac in college. So you're on Celexa and Wellbutrin. Okay.
Yes, so Dongtini is now brought to you by Celexa, Wellbutrin, and Paxil.
Big pharma. Lots of chemicals.
Yes.
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Yeah.
Why did they add the Wellbutrin?
It just, you know, it just seemed like it would help. So, you know, just because the Celexa on its own wasn't quite there, so they added the Wellbutrin. So,
right.
Yeah. Now I'm very jolly. I haven't had to take a Xanax or anything since I've been on it.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, and I'm in therapy now, and I'm taking care of myself. Because you got to take care of yourself. When, like, you know, because I feel like I don't want to take antidepressants because I don't want to go in my breast milk. But That the risk of that causing any harm is less than the risk of me not physically harming the baby, but just not being present to my baby, not being able to deal with him is bad for him, you know. So I can't 100%. If I couldn't engage with him. So everyone's like, you have to take care of yourself, and I had that drilled into me. So yeah, we should be fine. Yeah. So
it's hard to do. It's like, do you have? I'm sure you have tons of mommy guilt already.
I did have it in just that
kicked
time,
in for
yeah.
me immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I was fine before all this happened. So they didn't think it was postpartum depression. They just thought it was the injury was causing it, you know, because because I felt like I was never going to get better and I would never be able to look after him. And I was like scared to like be alone with him, you know, like I can't do this by myself. So, yes. But once I got taken care of, you know, once my leg healed, I felt so much better. So, yeah.
That is so much to deal with.
Hooray for science.
And you made it through. Yay. Thank you, science.
Yes.
Aww.
So I'm very grateful. But anyway.
You made it through.
So yay. I did. Yay. But I was going to say one more thing about that.
Antidepressants? Yeah. Therapy?
No, it's gone. Never mind. Okay. Anyway. But on a more joyful note, the mind's pretty joyful because I'm good now. So on a more joyful note, though, you had a big trip to Michigan.
I did. This last weekend, I went out there to be on, well, I was invited to host a Q&A between Peter Rollins and David Bazan, which was really fun. And they asked me out because I was kind of responsible for getting it together. This guy, Nathan Smith, who lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He works at, I think, Calvin College. He's affiliated with them somehow. It's this Presbyterian school out there. And he was, he knew that I knew both Dave and Pete. And so he asked me, he's friends with the pastor of my church out here. And I really like my pastor. And so he vouched for this Nathan guy that he's not crazy or anything. So so I talked to Nathan and he's like, let's try to get this going. So we've been trying to do this for over a year. And I kept texting Bazan. I'm like, Peter Rollins is going to do an event with you in Grand Rapids in September. Didn't hear anything back. So finally I texted Bazan and I said, Peter Rollins wants to have a threesome in Grand Rapids in September. And I heard back like instantaneously. And so anyway.
To pique a person's interest in using threesome.
Exactly. He's like, what? What's this? When? So we got it going and we went out there. Super fun. Okay, well, I went out 2 days early. Oh, we raised the money through Indiegogo, which is like a crowdfunding thing that only takes like 4%. And people like paid for my trip out there to do it because, you know, it's a total shoestring budget. You know, this guy's like, yeah, this is we're really, really broke and, you know, this isn't really a thing yet. But so, yeah, got flown out there thanks to the generosity and goodwill of Stuff Christian Culture Likes people. And I got to see my college roommate, Carla, who is hilarious. Carla, we were in each other's weddings, and she's, you know, she's Arkansas, but she lives in Michigan now. And so she picks me up from the airport and takes me back to her house, and we watched Arkansas Razorback football games, and I played with her little girls who were 4 and 8. So that was fantastic. And then on Monday, I went over to Grand Rapids and hung out with Bazan and Peter Rollins. And that night, the event was basically Bazan playing songs and then Peter Rollins kind of telling Irish parables and pacing around in circles and messing up his hair and, you know, being very winsome. So Bazan was giving me chills, though. Like, the last song of his set, he was playing just acoustic guitar, but he pulled the lead out of his guitar and kind of stepped in front of the mics. And he sang Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen song, just like 4 or 5 verses of it. But he sang it just, it was completely unplugged because, you know, no mic, no lead. And I like got chills and tears. It was so gorgeous. So after that, I hosted the Q&A. And
how did you go with that? Because I know previously, I can't remember what it was. We were going to do something and you seemed like really nervous to like do something in front of people. Like, how did you feel about that?
Oh gosh, it's terrifying. But like for some reason, I pull it out. Like I was able to make it happen. Like went out there because we introduced them. Like Nate, the guy putting it on, like kind of, you know, he had to give Christian college rules, like, okay, because this it's Christian college, you're not allowed to smoke outside, make sure there's no alcohol in here, no flash photography. It was terrible. It's like, don't say that at the beginning of the event, but they had to, like, it was a policy. It was so funny.
Wow.
And then, so I told the story about, yeah, I know them both, and I kind of got this together by talking about threesomes. So then I introduced them, and so afterwards for the Q&A, oh, you'll like this. Before the break, I was supposed to go out there and say, okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll have the Q&A, so everybody, you know, don't go too far. So when I was out there and announcing the break, I go, so don't nobody go nowhere.
Yes, I was already hearing that in my head when you were describing, when you said, so don't go anywhere, and I was like, yes. So,
from Back to the Future. And so yes. I kind of felt stupid, but then I was walking back off stage and Bazan was laughing because he totally knew the reference.
Awesome.
So that was fun.
I love that.
So I sat there in the middle. Yeah, you would have liked it. So I sat there in between them and I asked questions that people had emailed in, like, how do you process your doubt? How do you find peace in this? And they said the most beautiful things. Like, Pete was like, he goes, the more you ignore your doubt, the more it will rule you. And he's like, just, you know, open up to that stuff. If there's nagging questions and, you know, about anything, if you push it away, then it's just going to, you know, pop up in a bad way. But if you engage it, then you can be an honest person and a whole person. And, you know, Bazan said some stuff like, I am not a Christian, you know, but I am wrestling with stuff like people have through centuries. And, you know, it was really great to hear these things said on this conservative college campus. So I'm sure that, and we said motherfucker a bunch, and they kept referring the threesome that would happen later. Yeah, I know. Like, we might get disinvited back, which would kind of be cool. But it was just really fun, like, because I feel like talking about that stuff can be like a lifeline to people.
Yeah,
who
yeah.
Don't know what to do. Grown up with people going, yeah, you have to believe this. It's the truth. And they're like, but I don't know. So it was great. But the pictures I saw in one, my skirt was up so high on one side and I had no idea. And now I'm embarrassed because they videotaped it. And so we'll just see how that goes when I get those pictures back. But anyway, what are you going to do? Yeah, it was on Peter's side. Thanks, Peter, for not telling me. No.
No, okay. How well attended was the event?
There were 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty big. Yeah, I mean, it was like a 300-seat venue, so it felt full, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like a charming little thing that had red velvet theater seats. It was old.
Oh, so nice. And you said this talk was doing it again?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they kept saying that they were kind of talking in terms of the next time we do this, I'd like the focus to be more on the Q&A, because, like, we all like the Q&A the best. Like, it seemed to be the best part of the evening.
Yeah,
so we want to... They said they wanted to bring that to more of the focus. And Bazan also said, he goes, I was really conscious of us being two dudes up there doing most of the talking and the woman not talking much. And he goes, I want to change that next time. Hmm. So that was nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I was like, I appreciate that. I know I'm not headlining the event or anything. So I didn't want to, you know, say a whole ton. But thank you for that. And yeah. So that was cool.
Cool.
We'll just see what happens.
Yes.
And listener Jonathan came. He drove like 45 minutes from Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids to bring me a dong cake. It was a work of fucking art. It was so realistic. It was various colors. It had like a lavender tip and it got red down the shaft. And he drew like really realistic little veins on it.
Yes.
And it was nuts. It was so good, too. It was the best cake I probably ever had. It was carrot cake. And I told him, this is better than Costco cake. I go, and that's a compliment, because Costco cake is my favorite cake. He's like, oh, okay, thanks. But
yeah, no, I saw the pictures that I didn't realize he was actually going to give it to you. I thought he was just, like, sending you pictures of his of his work. I was like, wow,
he
actually
it.
Got the cake.
Yeah, as soon as the, you know, we're like, okay, bye, you know, thing's over, he ran up and, like, and shoved it on the stage.
So
and he had,
sweet.
Like, a little bag of paper plates and forks with him, and so he was like, we can eat it right now, come on. So it was
so
lovely
great.
To talk to him. Yeah.
We'll post pictures of the dong cake on the website.
We sure will. Not suitable for work at all.
No.
Not even a little bit.
It's the same pan that we talked about, the same shape. I mean, how many dong cake pans could there be? yeah, so I bet there are more than one, actually. So, yeah. Oh, I just want to add one thing that reminded me of when you were talking about you guys saying motherfucker and saying threesomes in this Christian college. I went to see the live stage production of The Wizard of Oz, which, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote some extra songs for The Wizard of Oz, which wasn't really necessary. But anyway, I was like, the tickets were really expensive, and then Greg found them on StubHub for, like, one ticket for $30. I'm like, I'll go for $30, because it's, like, 10 minutes from my house. So I went to that. But anyway, so, you know, near the end, like, they were using a lot of dialogue from the movie and the songs from the movie, so, you know, it was still pretty good. But near the end, you know, when the wizard is like digging around in his black bag to give, you know, the heart to the Tin Man and the badge to the lion. So he's around this corner. He's like, my bag. Where's the fucking bag? And everyone went, oh.
Were there children in the audience?
Yes, of course there were. And like, there was like an audible gasp. Even my mouth dropped open, because it's not even that the word is scary. It's like in that context, like you being at Christian college and saying motherfucker, it's like, you know, it's like me being at this thing with all these children. You know, there was a kid with a booster seat sitting two seats away from me. You know what I mean? And he's like, where's my fucking bag? And I'm like, why did he do that?
Oh,
it was kind of exciting. Yeah. So.
I've been thinking of taking Lolly to that, because it's coming through Seattle. It seems like something she would like, don't you think?
It's pretty great. I'm distracted, though, because like when they use the dialogue from the movie, like I know how every inflection sounds in the original, like in my head. So when they say it differently, it like I can't not hear that it's different, you know? But it still sounds really good, and like the orchestra and
everything. Well, that's like with, you know, seeing someone play in concert and you know the studio version of the song, and you're like, hey, they're mixing that up, they're trying to avant-garde, stop it.
When Faith No More's reunion tour, every time they played Digging the Grave off King for a Day, like when the second verse came, Mike Patton would sing the first line wrong. He would sing the line from the first verse in the second verse when it's different, and it would just be like, stop doing it. Like, yeah, I wanted to correct him, which I had opportunities to do, but I didn't, because I'd be a jerk. Oh.
Can you sing the shaved beef thing?
Oh, from Mr. Bungle? God, so... I've got to get into the part of the song. Okay, we got gushing gonads, tingling tushes, hairy balls, and hairy bushes. Oh my God, I can't think of it now. Like, my brain is frozen, even though I know it off by heart. We got S&M, whips and chains, and pregnant ladies with menstrual pains. We got hand jobs and nipple tweaks. We got finger bangs and slapping cheeks. We got rape, necro, and both ways. And got a lot of hunk studs for all you gays. We got shemales and... Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I can't believe I can't get this right. I think I'm just nervous. Because I sang it all, actually, recently. So I was singing it to myself, like, last week. You totally did. So another time. Yeah, I sang the whole thing to myself last week, so I know. Ooh. I know it. So.
Yeah, you haven't lost it.
And both of them. A lot of hung studs for all you gays. Gosh. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to stop. It's really bothering now that I can't remember. Back to listener Jonathan. He called us before he made the cake. And again, listener, we have a few other calls, and I don't want to put all the calls in the one episode, but these two have been like around for ages. Jonathan called us over 2 months ago, right after Stephanie had visited. So sorry we didn't get to these sooner, but I had issues, as I outlined at the beginning. So I'm sorry. So anyway, so here are the two older ones, and we'll do the two later ones that came after more recently in the next episode. So here is Jonathan's call.
Call 323-301.
Hello, Simone and Stephanie. My name is Jonathan. I'm calling from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Absolutely love the show. And I'm calling because our city has started posting these little signs everywhere with prominent members of the community and whatever activities they're interested in with the tagline, I Geek. So, for instance, you might have a symphony conductor saying, I Geek Music, or some other person saying, I Geek Yoga. And I was just curious how you all felt about the use of the word geek these days. Now, basically, it's used to describe any interest or, you know, anybody that's seen the Avengers. I personally don't care for that use of the word, because I've seen the unfuckable weirdos at the comic stores playing Magic the Gathering, so I think that is what an actual geek is. And as an added bonus for Stephanie, when I was downtown the other day, I saw a sign for another one of those iGeek posters with middle-aged woman on it, and it said, iGeek Praising God. So I'll just leave you with that. Love the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you, Jonathan. I hadn't really thought about that until you made this call, but I've had 2 months to think about it, so thank you. I wouldn't have thought about it, but I think it would annoy me if I saw those billboards, because it just seems like people trying to, you know, just get in on something that's hip and cool to say now. It's like, oh, I'm totally geeking out on this and that. So what do you think about it?
I think it smacks a little of desperation is issue with it. Which I think is the same thing he's saying. It's like, yeah, okay, iGeek. It doesn't, you know, just because you're really obsessed with, I don't mean really obsessed, pretty interested in something doesn't mean you're geeking out for it. Like, like I'm obsessed with the internet, but I'm not a geek for it, I would think.
Yeah.
Because I think of the geek as like being the technical term who needs to know every last thing about it. And I know hardly anything about HTML or, you know, languages or whatever. So. Anyway,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I think like somebody like if they watch a lot of episodes of something, they'll say I was geeking out watching Doctor Who or whatever, you know. So, but I think maybe because that's kind of a dorky show that it kind of fits, you know. But I feel like to call yourself a geek, you have to like really be taking it to this higher level of knowledge. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think you need to be like knowing like too many intricate details that the average casual fan, even if they've seen every episode of something or own every album, that they won't know, you know, like band members' birthdays and shit like that.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to things like praising God. iGeek praising God.
Yeah, that's like sounds like such a Christian culture thing of trying to be cool and relevant.
Seriously,
iGeek praising God.
Oh, bless their hearts, they try so hard.
Yeah, so I think I'm with you, Jonathan, if you don't mind people saying they're geeking when they just know a lot about something, like without being a visual nerd, like with, you know, comic book type of nerd. I think that's possible. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on that. And our other call that we're playing today was from listener Stacy in Michigan, and she also called in July. So thank you for your patience, Stacy, and here's the call.
Hi, ladies, and hi, fellow Dong TV listeners. This is Stacy. I was just watching an episode of the Jerry Seinfeld web series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and it was the Sarah Silverman episode, and she talked about how one big red flag for her when she's getting to know a person and, you know, wanting to be friends with them is, you know, she goes out to eat with them and they're rude to the waiter. She kind of just figures, okay, that's it. I can't be friends with this person. And I just thought that was interesting because that's one of my red flags too, personally. And I think another one for me is whenever, if I'm getting to know someone and they say anything that's even remotely anti-gay or homophobic, I can't stand that. Largely because my brother is gay, but also I just think it's against basic human decency. So I wondered if you, if the two of you had any things like that that were just deal breakers or huge red flags for you. Thanks again for the show, and I'm so glad it's back, and hope you're both doing well, and I'm looking forward to the show. Thanks.
Bye. I'm right there with her on the being rude to waiters thing.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't stand that. And I have a friend, she's from another country. She's from South America. And she tells me, she's like, I really hate waiters. And I'm like, really? Why? She's like,
what?
Where I'm from, like, they leave you alone over here. It's like they're up your ass constantly. And I'm like, oh, you know, I always kind of feel sorry for them. I'm like, they're just trying to help you out, so I want to be real nice to them, you know? And she goes, no, I'm like a dog with a postman. I'm like, just get away. Like, she's like, that's how I feel about them.
Oh my God.
Isn't that funny? But she's like the most nice, generous person in every other way. So I couldn't call that a deal breaker, but I'm always like, whenever I'm out with her, I'm like trying to be really nice to the waiter. Like, haha, yeah, okay. Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. My only beef with waiters is like I hate when they don't take any sort of, you know, any note on what's going on in the conversation, and then they ruin a punchline or something, you know? And she's like, and then they're like, can I get anyone more water? And then everyone turns to look at them, and it just kills the momentum of your storytelling. And then you have to go, so anyway, and like bring it back, you know? And then it just kills it. And I hate that. I really hate it. Like, I just wish they'd take a little more note. Yeah, just take a little note of the conversation. Just a quick assessment. But you could tell they just walked up and started talking, you know, and I just wish they'd assess if someone was really at the height of a story and, you know, use some discretion on that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I've seen anyone be rude to waiters in a way that offends me, but I know somebody I know. I haven't seen them be rude to a waiter, but I've heard that they are. And it really, like, it bothers me. Like, what I read sounded disgusting. And, yeah, so it's made me kind of wary of this person, among other things. So,
interesting.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, uncalled for. Because they're just still people, you know. So, yeah. I haven't thought of that being a deal breaker. But I think if I saw someone do that, I would be fucking uncomfortable. So I have to assess that as it happened. So, yeah.
Totally. I think that, like, a major red flag for me would be, okay, I just remember this from friendships I started, like, in college, and, like, I remember one friend in particular. This happened several times with different people, but this one friend in particular, like, you know, we met a few days earlier, and within, like, 3 or 4 days, she had a big problem with me, and she's like, we need to have a big talk.
Oh,
you know,
shit.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And I kind of took it, you know, whereas now I'd be like, oh my, okay, I don't know. Like, she seems like she's going to have a lot of problems. Because this girl did have a lot of problems with me constantly. And I just kind of took it, maybe because I was used to my mom, like, always having problems with me. So, anyway, I guess that could be the only real deal breaker, or just something I'd be wary of, because I guess that's not a super safe person if they're always going to be saying, we need to talk, you know, and it doesn't go both ways.
You that know, quickly, so. Too, you know, I think I would feel I'd get to know someone a bit better, or, you know.
Exactly. But,
yeah. Do you remember what it was that she needed to talk about, what she needed to talk about?
I think that she's like, I told you I like Jeff McCarron, and you were up there talking about going, you know, you wanted him to go get coffee with us and all this. Like, she felt like I was, like, moving in on her man or something. So that sort of thing. But I thought it was more innocent. Like, if you come to coffee with us, then he gets to talk to Kat, you know. Anyway.
I think my big red flag is when people just kind of cut me off all the time and talk about themselves too much, you know? So, I met someone, like, these people that, like, I mean, everybody does it sometimes where somebody's saying something and you kind of, you know, finish their sentence with a joke answer to what they you think they were about to say, you know? It's like, oh, right, what are they going to do, blah? And then the person has to go, well, no, actually. And then they have to go back to saying what they were trying to say, you know? And I think everybody does it to an extent, but I met someone a few weeks ago, and I thought she was really smart and funny, but she would do that with every single thing that anybody was saying all the time. Uh-oh. And I was just like, oh my God, shut up. Oh my God, shut up. And it's like, I really liked her in one way, but then she kept doing that, you know? And I was like, I don't know if I can be friends with a person that does that constantly, you know? So I think anyone that just feels like very, like, where I feel very unheard and the person's more interested in just holding court all the time, that's a deal breaker for me. So, yeah. And these people that don't laugh very much, I can't deal with that. So, yeah. They don't have to laugh at me. This is when they seem like they don't have a sense of humor. I can't. That's a deal breaker. I can't.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Wait. They just look at me like they're confused the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote a blog about that. It's been controversial, actually. I wrote it years ago, and people pop up and comment on that blog about people who can't or won't laugh, you know? And some people are just like, I'm one of those people that can't laugh. I wish I could laugh. And, like, it's actually, like, a good conversation going on in there. Like, they are trying to understand, you know, why other people laugh more, and, you know? And some people are like, you know, you shouldn't expect other people to laugh just to make yourself feel better. And whereas I'm just more like, it's kind of just polite to, you know, be supportive of somebody, you know what I mean? When they're, you know, trying to be funny, you know.
Yeah.
So,
help them out.
But I'll post a link to that on the website. So, anyway, Now you have an internet saga to share with us.
I have an internet saga where at work, I can't remember if I told this last episode, where my boss said, "Stephanie, I need you to come to my office, I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh shit, this sounds really terrible." So I go in there and she's like, "No, don't freak out, because I know sometimes you get nervous about these things, but so you're not, it's not that big a deal." And I'm just like, "Okay." She goes, "But I've been getting a lot of complaints about how much you're on the internet." And I was like, "Oh man, that sucks." And she goes, "Yes, but your production is really high. And all the people in here are of a different generation than we are." Because this is my first boss I've had who's younger than me. She's like 3 years younger. And she's like, "They don't understand that how much the internet is kind of part of our lives. And they think whenever you're on it, you're not being productive. But your production is higher than theirs." She's like, "So what I'm going to do..." She's like, "I don't care if you're on the internet. As far as I'm concerned, it helps you work better. So I'm just going to move you to a cubicle away from where everyone else is so that they don't walk by and see you on there all the time."
That is the best thing ever. That's insane.
And I was like shaking because I was so happy. I was like, "You're the nicest person. You're the nicest person."
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. It felt like an alternate universe kind of experience. So.
Yeah, yeah. That is like, I can't even believe that happened.
I know. It was insane. What boss says, "Instead of asking you to get off the internet, I'm going to move you so that you can internet in private."
I've got a little like, you're on the internet too often and we know and it's okay, but you know, you need to ease off on it a bit. Like, in other words, like I'm allowed to be, but I need to stop a little bit, but not, "I'm going to move you so you can internet in peace." Oh man. You're like the richest person I know.
If I was a burglar, you would be my best friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's been a while. You probably missed this old chestnut, but I've got another edition of Facebook Watchdog. Arf, arf, arf! Surely people have missed hearing me bark. Anyway, so my Facebook watch, I've actually known about this for a while, but do you know about the other inbox on Facebook?
Oh, I've heard about it, but I've never seen mine.
It's fucked. It's right next to, so you go into like, you know, your full inbox, not just the mini one when you, you know, tap the thing at the, you know, just the mini pop-up of your recent messages, you know, but when you get the full page of it. So there's inbox on the left, and then next to that is other, and it'll probably say 99 plus. And it's kind of like a spam folder that they don't tell you about, but somebody had messaged me, like, and that I wasn't friends with yet, or maybe I was, or at the time they messaged me, I wasn't. And I didn't see this message for months, and then I read about this other inbox, and I found all these messages from people that had been put in there. So you could be getting messages, but they're just sort of deciding, like, "Oh, this is a group message, or this is something else that you probably don't want, so we'll put it there." Which would be okay if they told us about it, you know, or had, like, a little, like, a red, you know, icon next to it, so you knew that there was a number there that would pop out at you to go, "What's this?" But it's just kind of shadowed out. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so you could have something interesting in your other inbox, so check it out, people.
I had some spam folder drama a couple weeks ago. I just said that like Corky St. Clair and Waiting for Guffin, where he goes, "And I began to teach drama." But anyway, so I have this thing where if Tony Jones tweets something that I find is especially hilarious, I'll get a screen cap and put it on the Stuff Christian Culture Likes Facebook page, and I'll say, "Today in Tony tweets." So he tweeted something like, "I've been getting a lot of compliments on my mustache," so I put it up there, right? And so guess who comments on that thread? But Tony Jones. And he goes, "I have asked Stephanie repeatedly in private to stop mocking me, so now I'm going to ask you as a community, please leave me alone, please ignore me, please don't mock me. I have a lot of grief in my life, and this page is greatly adding to it." And everyone's like, "Ha ha ha ha." So I was like, I don't remember ever getting anything from you. And everyone goes, check your spam folder. So I go and check it, and I had something from him. And it said, it was dated like September 2nd or something, which is when the same day that I posted an MP3 recording of this Shakespearean actor reading Tony's tweets in his Fraser Crane voice.
It was really funny, right? And he didn't add anything. He's just like reading everything like Fraser Crane would. So Tony had written me that day and he said, "What you're doing is despicable and I wish you would stop. It's causing me a lot of pain." So I know, I'm like, oh, you know, what do you do with that? Because it's just his, you know, he's in the public eye. Like, he's worked really hard to get there. He has a wiki page. It's like, you know, can we send up your tweets a little about your mustache and, you know, how awesome you are for shooting pheasants and drinking rye? So, I thought that was kind of interesting. So,
yeah,
that was my spam folder drama.
Gosh, see, like, that's a thing where it could have, like, you know, that was like a he's trying to have a conversation about something important and you didn't even get it because it put it in the spam folder.
Yeah, that's like my nightmare. Like,
yeah.
What if, like,
that's
McGregor's
how conflicts happen. People get upset because they think they got ignored, you know?
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Yeah,
it's terrible.
Because I was like, haha, I don't remember ever getting anything from you. So.
Right.
But I did get something.
Yeah. See, Facebook's destroying lives left and right.
Yeah, Facebook.
Fucking Facebook. I thought of another watchdog thing. which is that, you know how, well, you know they're always tweaking it and changing things and putting things there and taking them away. So they had this thing where, like, say somebody has a baby or gets married and you say congratulations or you like the post, and then you would get a notification every time somebody else commented, and like 200 people are going to comment on it, and you're like, stop it, like, I don't care, I've said my piece and I don't know who all you people are, you know? So but then they had this thing like unfollow this post, so you could just click on that and you wouldn't hear about it anymore. They took that away. It's gone.
They took that away?
Yes.
They can't take that away. I depend on that.
Somebody had
button.
A baby. I congratulated them, and then I just kept getting every like 10 minutes getting a notification about it, and so I went to unfollow the post. Gone.
That really makes me mad, because that was a wonderful feature.
Yes, it was.
I was talking to someone the other day. I was like, they should, you know how every selfie or pretty much any picture anyone puts up is like, you know, something that they think is a good picture, and they want to get some compliments on it, of course. So I was telling someone that they should have a boner button where you could like the thing or you could click the boner button if it gave him a boner. Because wouldn't you like to know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Maybe that's a little too much, but
I don't like getting attention to my photos. That's why I never change it. I like leave it alone because I just if I change it, like every time I do change it, people will comment or say something or like it, and I'm embarrassed. So I just leave it the same. Like, I changed it to my kid picture recently, but I had the same one for like
picture.
A year and a half. Which one? My 4-year-old's picture?
The kid picture.
Yeah.
So precious.
Yeah, and I didn't feel bad getting compliments about me being 4, but yeah, just my normal pictures, like, I just don't, I just feel shy. I mean, I like it, but I feel shy about the attention, so I don't change it. Aww. That's why I had the same one. I had the same one for like a year and a half before that, so, yeah. Anyway, and thus concludes another edition of Facebook Watchdog. Arf, arf, arf! I was a little hoarse that time.
Trying to keep it down.
Yeah, I am. Arf, arf, arf! You could tell I was trying to keep it down. My mom is here, and I don't want her to know that I'm recording a filthy podcast. So that's why my barking was a little subdued.
Terry, do you know what a dong is?
Yep. Oh, boy. So anyway, a few weeks ago, I was in the office on the computer, and I heard like some glass breaking. Now, our neighbors in the building next door to us, there's like a gay couple that lives there, and they're always having these flaming fights, and you know, fire department.
Sounds like Shut Up Little Man.
Yes, it is like Shut Up Little Man over there. So, like, I've heard all kinds of screaming and, you know, smashing things, fights going on in there, and emergency people come. And so, anyway, so earlier this night, the fire truck had come, and we thought, oh, it must be for them again. Anyway, so it's later, like a couple hours later, and I hear this smashing sound. Anyway, and so I finish what I'm doing, and I go over there to see, like, what smash? And I'm, like, looking around, I can't see what it is, but I can hear people talking. And so I hear this lady, like, saying, you know, I'm going to help you, and, like, calling out for help and all this stuff. And I'm afraid to go there, because the guy's a raging alcoholic, so I'm like, I'm not going over there, you know, because, you know, the guy's, like, belligerent a lot of the time. So anyway, so she's calling out for help. Somebody's else is helping, and they're like, so I, like, grab my arm, all this stuff. I can't see anything. I can only hear it. There's this big tree out the front of their window. Anyway, so I keep pulling, pulling, pulling. Eventually, he crashes down. I guess he was stuck in the tree. He had gone out of the window, and then he went crashing down and was just at the bottom of the tree. So he fell from the second story to the ground. And then I could see him. Once he was out of the tree, I could see him at the base of the tree. He was just laying there, like, just on his back with his arms out and his legs out. And I was like, oh, my God. So anyway, then my other neighbor called out to them. It's like, do you want me to call 911? Like, everyone's just fed up with them, you know? So anyway, so she called 911, and they came. And then they had to, like, cut all his clothes off because he was just in shorts. And they, like, yeah, had to, like, put him on a stretcher and wheel him out of there. Like, he couldn't move the whole time until they came. He was just laying out there. It was fucked. So that was kind of exciting. Yeah, what that a thing to exciting. See. Like, I saw him fall. I saw him come crashing. I didn't see the initial, like, smashing, but after I was watching from my window, I saw him come crashing through from a tree to the ground. So, yeah, amazing stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I'm never that lucky to see anything that dramatic.
I know. It was great.
What was he doing on the tree? That's so funny.
It's the best. So I guess we'll wrap things up soon, but actually this last piece might go for a little bit, but we'll see. So I don't forget who I was talking to. I think I was chatting with listener Eugene, and I was wondering, like, you know, like, about prisoners being able to use the internet. So I went to Google, is there internet in prison? But I got as far as, is there internet? And then it finished, no, is there internet in? And then the first thing that Google suggested was Hawaii. Like, people are going into Google and asking if there is internet in Hawaii. It's like, what do they think is going on there?
People are so stupid.
I know. God, the autofill is just such a delight when it does stuff like that, you know? So, yeah. So, is there internet in Hawaii? So, anyway, I told Greg about this over dinner that night, and we were laughing about it, like, just chortling, and then... And then he goes, what happens if you do, is there internet in H? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, how many people are typing, is there internet in heaven or hell? And I was like, oh yeah.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. So sure enough, I type, is there internet in H? And there's internet in heaven, or is there internet in Hawaii? Comes up. So
no hell.
I did later search for hell, and just everyone said, yeah, but it's just dial up. So that was just sort of the ongoing joke about there being internet in hell. But anyway, so on Yahoo Answers, somebody asks, you know, is there internet in heaven? And the best answer says, the internet name may be different in heaven. All things are available in heaven, but I need only my Jesus Christ, nothing else. I like that they bothered to think that the internet might have a different name up there. Wow. And so then after that, then the other end is there's a combination of people being smart asses and... somebody says, there is no technology in heaven. Everything is eminently natural.
Oh, my God.
And let's see. If God was truly all-knowing and all-powerful, he would have created it in the Bronze Age Palestine, where he allegedly made his appearances. He could have spread his hate a lot farther than the illiterate, sheep-herding, stupefied first-century Middle Eastern peasants. Think of all the advertising and marketing dollars he missed out on. What an idiot.
Is that one of the best answers?
We'll only pick one best. So these are just the extra ones that come after that. Then let's see. What else is good? Oh, if you want internet, it will be there. And the best part is that it will be free.
Oh my gosh. That's actually kind of true.
Yeah. And then if there isn't internet, then it is hell. So good. And then, yes, but only dial-up. So you have to listen to a modem going for eternity. And then, let's see, I found... then there's another website. So I kept searching and finding more things. Another website with this... person explains in great detail why, heavens no, there is no internet or computers in heaven. So,
heavens no.
And then another guy's written a post where he believes that he thinks he has proof that there's internet in heaven because his brother died. And I guess when you're logged into your Apple ID on your computer, it, you know, you just stay logged in. So every time you go in, let's say, you know, hi, whatever this guy's name is. Hi, Kevin. Anyway, he goes in. So he'd seen it a few, like his brother was dead. And then, you know, he'd seen his Apple on his Apple page on the website, and it said, you know, hello, Kevin. And then he goes in to log into it like a few days later, and it says, hello, Jeffrey, which was his brother's name. So he just thinks that his brother, like, is trying to, like, send him a message through his Apple ID.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he thinks this is proof that that there's internet in heaven. So
or hell.
Exactly. And then the last one I have.
B. Arthur. I was just going to recount my fondest memory of Greg saying after B. Arthur died. He goes, did you hear that B. Arthur died and went to hell?
Yeah.
So sad. She was such a nice person.
I know. I like the idea that it was just reported that way. Like she died and then this happened.
Like it's fact.
Oh, man. So the last one I want to add is this kid who posted on this message board. My name is Khalid. I'm 13 years old and I'm from Australia. Both my parents are Muslims from Pakistan. I have a question about Islam. Basically, I know that in heaven there will be a lot of good things, but I really like internet and I can't live without it. Will I have internet in heaven and could I play video games, etc. in there? I can't find any hadiths about this.
Oh,
I just like this
God.
Teenager, like, seriously wanting to know. So
she's seriously in crisis mode about that, I think.
Yeah. But it made us wonder, like, Greg and I were asking, like, if you did, so people that do think there's internet in heaven, like, what is the internet? Like, are you just, like, looking at, like, earthly internet when you have heaven there where you should be so enlightened at all this stuff? It's like, are you on Facebook? Are you just, like, reading CNN? Like, what are you doing? What, if these people that want the internet in heaven, like, what internet is that? I can't process what you want out of the internet if you're in heaven. You know what I mean? It's like, supposed to transcend all this earthly stuff, you know?
Exactly.
No, they just want to keep fucking screwing around and having comment fights with people on BuzzFeed. You know what I mean?
Comment
like,
fights. Can we still have comment fights in heaven?
Yeah, because that's what I love to do, and I think we get to do what we love.
That's my idea of heaven.
Yeah, I like being a troll.
Nice comment
so.
Fight.
Yeah. Did you hear Popular Science is like closing their comment sections on
really?
New articles? Because they did some studies and people who, like there'll be an article about some new discovery and then people will troll it, like people who are anti-science and stuff or just people debating it. And people that read the comments, it influences how they read the article, you know? And
sure.
These are just like unqualified morons just commenting and giving their stupid opinions, you know? So it's like, I'm not saying that the article shouldn't be challenged, but not just by any fucking idiot who can type with two fingers,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Which is what a lot of those comments are. So, and they wrote like a really thoughtful thing explaining why they're closing it, you know, backed with studies.
Wow.
So I was like, good on you. Cause too many people think they're entitled to share their opinions, and I think really a lot of people aren't qualified to even talk.
Hell is other people's opinions.
So anyway, I think that wraps things up for this week. So I feel like we are going to be on a fairly regular schedule from now.
It's nearly 5 weeks later and I'm only just now editing it. Sorry, guys.
Back at work, I'm feeling fairly normal. And yeah, I think the work like creates some sort of routine. As much as I hate working, I have to concede that it does create some structure in my life. So,
exactly. I know, I'm
so
right
anyway,
with you.
Yeah. God, I hate that. I like to think that I can be efficient without having a job, but I guess I can't. So... So, thank you all for listening, and until next time, bye, Stephanie.
Bye, Simone.
Bye. Shadow. beautiful, and it tastes so, so, so good. I like the egg.